This is a perfect storm of conspiracy theories.
On December 15th, 2017, Canadian billionaires Honey and Barry Sherman were found dead in their mansion. To this day, the case remains unsolved.
Counterfeit and copied pharmaceuticals was much more lucrative than heroin, cocaine, and the rest of it.
If you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Listen to the no good, terribly kind, wonderful lives and tragic deaths of Barry and Honey Sherman, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
The Thunder Bay Police are once again the focus of a criminal investigation. Its former police chief has been charged in connection with the ongoing issues plaguing the force. This is the latest in a long history of concerns about how the service operated. In a moment, we'll hear from the current police chief. But first, I'm joined by Willow Fidler. She is a reporter for the Globe and Mail in Thunder Bay. Willow, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So walk us through the latest developments in this story. Who has been charged and with what?
The latest charges from last week are against former Chief Sylvie Hoff and her former in-house lawyer, Holly Walburn. They are the second and third people to be charged in this OPP investigation. The first charge was laid against Staff Sergeant Mike Dimini last December. Last week, though, Sylvie and Holly, they were both charged with two counts of obstruction of justice and then one count of obstructing a public or peace officer and breach of trust by a public officer. The lawyer, Holly Walburn, faces an additional charge of obstructing justice. And we know that this is related to the investigation that started back in late December 2021. The allegations in their charge sheets indicate that they both had lied to the police service board in October of 2021, they lied to the Ontario Police Civilian Commission, which is the OCPC. That's the police board oversight for the province. Lied to them for a period between November of 2021 to June 2022. And lying to both the board and the commission between October 2021 and June 2022. Holly Walburn's also accused of lying to the Toronto Police Service between January and November of 2022.
Will, just remind us, though, I mean, we have the charges there, but what is going on here? Why is the Ontario Provincial Police investigating the Thunder Bay Police Force? What's the context?
Right. There's a lot of context to this. It goes back quite a bit, and we can relate it to kind of the ongoing issues that the police here in Thunder Bay have faced, particularly with Indigenous people for many years. But in particular, we're now kind of seeing other issues come out. So this particular investigation by the OPP was prompted by a request from the province's Ministry of Attorney General back in 2021. It was around the same time that the commission also started investigating the service at the request of the Solicitor General. And these were all coming, these allegations or these investigations, sorry, were coming from allegations related to human rights tribunal complaints that were being filed in October of 2021 by former veteran officers and even the former or the then chair of the police board, Georgianne Morisseau, for a number of things, including harassment and discrimination. And these are kind of, I don't have all the allegations, but we do know that there, you know, there is relation and connection to incidents involving Sergeant Dimity, who was the first to be charged last year, and then now Sylvie Hoff and Holly Walburn, sorry. We have several officers that have come forward talking about the harassment that they were retaliated against by the former chief and her lawyer when they tried to come forward with complaints and concerns about the alleged misconduct of Sergeant Dimini. Mm-hmm. So the commission had also last year or in 2022, their investigation did did bring charges forward against the former chief. She was scheduled for a hearing for discreditable conduct and deceit charges. And so she was supposed to be dealing with those this year, but ended up, or last year, sorry, and resigned just before that was supposed to happen.
And so how has the community, Indigenous folks in the community specifically, responded to these most recent developments?
No one's quite shocked. You know, like I said, there's longstanding issues here with the police service and Thunder Bay, particularly with Indigenous people and the investigations of sudden deaths that have over the years, you know, reports have come out that they've been incomplete and police have been doing kind of neglectful and incompetent work. So there's no trust, absolutely zero trust right now. Anishinaabe Aski Nation, which is the political group that represents 49 First Nations here in Northwestern Ontario, released a statement about the charges yesterday. You know, they're not, you know, they say that there's more than ever now, there's no reason to trust the police. They've previously called for them to be, you know, disbanded because of the magnitude of issues. And they say that there's deep systemic issues that have yet to be addressed by the service and the board.
Mm-hmm. I mean, part of what the context that you're talking about of the mistrust in the handling of investigations is that there were a series of deaths in the community of young people that seemingly went by without an investigation. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. We had the 7 student inquest in 2015 and 2016. And at that time, you know, community and leadership were trying to bring these issues of policing. But that's where we kind of first started seeing that involved the seven First Nations students. You know, since then, we've seen the death investigation of Stacey Dubungi, for example, in 2015, when the student inquest was just starting. You know, we know that the lead investigator in that case, was found guilty of neglect of duty and discreditable conduct because he was found to have an unconscious bias and discrimination against Indigenous people, and thinking this was another case of a drunken Indian rolling into the river and drowning. So with the new chief now, Darcy Fleury, and the new board, he's just coming up on his 1-year anniversary. I guess really only time's going to tell. People want to see action. They're tired of words. They're tired of hearing promises, and they need to see some real action here. Mm-hmm.
And so what happens next with this OPP case against Hoth and Walborn?
So we'll just have to see how that plays out. The investigation is ongoing. It's not going to be surprising to see more charges in this investigation in the next while. Yeah, and in the meantime, the current leadership has, you know, their work cut out for them. But that's not to say that they don't have, a roadmap or, you know, the tools that that they need in order to do so and move forward here.
Mm-hmm. Willow, before you go, I know you talked about the First Nation organization and their thoughts on all of this, on there still not being trust in the police and that there hasn't been movement in, you know, fast enough to make change in the force itself. But I'm curious, as you talk to people in your reporting, what are you hearing as these charges come out?
There is also a sense of, okay, something finally is being done. People are finally starting to, you know, hear us and believe us, particularly with the officers involved in the complaints over the years. There is, I guess, a sense of reassurance or relief that maybe things are turning the way they should have been a long time ago.
Okay. Willow Fidler, thank you for speaking with us this morning.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Willow Fidler is a reporter for the Globe and Mail. She is in Thunder Bay.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Darcy Fleury is the new chief for the last year of the Thunder Bay Police Force. He joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Rebecca.
Darcy, how did you react when you heard these latest findings from the OPP investigation?
Well, you know, I wasn't really surprised. I know since I've been here, I've been in consultation with the OPP as to where they were with their investigation and getting regular updates. So I knew that this was coming to an end at this stage. So I wasn't really too surprised and just waiting now to see what happens with the process.
Mm-hmm. These are charges at this point, of course, not convictions. But what do you think it says to people in Thunder Bay that these charges were laid? We heard Willow say that perhaps there is a sentiment that finally something is being done.
Well, I think that one of the biggest messages is that this was individuals that are being charged of certain offenses. I think the message there is this is not doesn't show the you know the that widespread corruption that a lot of people want to believe that's occurring in this department. Since I've been here, I haven't seen any of that. I am aware of the situation amongst the charges with these three individuals, and it is individual acts. And I think that's the message I'd like to make, that it's not that widespread corruption that people want to believe that it has occurred.
I was going to ask you about that because you've been the police chief for nearly a year now. What have you learned then, if not that there's widespread corruption? What have you learned as to why this force continues to be the subject of such controversy?
Well, I think if you go back to the history, and Willow mentioned a few things there, if you go back into the history of things and where some of the investigations, you know, maybe there could have been a bit more work done, and that's what we're waiting to see what happens with the OPP reinvestigation on a number of things, the seven youth inquest. Really, I think people have to... don't have to, but I'm really trying, working hard to people understand that we've learned from the past. We've continued to strive to provide really quality, good service to the people of this community and have some really put some things in place that are making us much more better.
I mean, you describe it as something that you could have done better. The police force could have done better, but we're talking about seven young people. I mean, for those people who experienced those losses, I mean, it's more than just a few cases that they didn't investigate properly. Some would describe that part alone as pretty controversial and perhaps something to be reckoned with in a bigger way.
Well, I think on that, that's been reviewed again and again, and I do have some other comments on that, but I think reality of it is where we are with any investigation, as information comes in, it's investigated, and I think that did occur. I think it just didn't occur to the standard that some people want or believe should be done, and I think there's some more work that needs to be internally for myself to go through those cases again and review them and just see what was happening at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of where we are and the charges that have come out in the last number of weeks and all of the context around this, there is this perception that the Thunder Bay Police Force cannot be trusted. I think that's a fair commentary on the situation. So what do you do to regain trust?
Well, I put myself out there continually since my arrival here for the first year that I've been here. We're working very closely. My overarching priority was, and it's still identified to me, is to rebuild that trust with our Indigenous communities. So I continually work with them and communicate with them at all levels, not just the governments, but with different organizations that are representing and serving the people of this community and of their Anishinaabeg people. So really working hard to do that and just be very transparent and show them that this is who you have as far as the chief of police, and that I work very closely with the board so that they keep me in check to make sure that transparency exists, and that we're doing getting the input from the people at all levels and planning our programs around their input.
you know, yesterday, and we heard Willow talk about this as well, despite what you've just said, the Anishinaabe Aski Nation issued a press release saying so far nothing has happened to enhance the public's trust in the force, and also the public, and especially Indigenous people, now have even more reason not to trust the police. And quote, "We are disappointed that the current chief of police and the TBPS board have failed to acknowledge the seriousness of the situation that we are now in." How do you describe the seriousness of the situation?
Well, I was a little bit concerned, or not concerned, a little bit confused by that comment. The situation as far as the charges, because the charges I understand and I'm aware of them, and they are serious and they should be treated as such. As far as the not doing enough or not being aware, I've always stated and I continue to state that this is not a sprint that we're into. This is a marathon, and it's going to take some time. And you know, when we have those years of that sort of feeling of one organization to another. It is going to take a lot of time, and all I can do is continue to show that I'm truthful and I'm transparent and I'm open to conversation, and hopefully, you know, I'll continue to show them that they can trust me. Can never ask anybody to trust me. That's not how it's going to work, or trust the organization is going in the right direction. But we can just continue to show them and continue to work with all of the agencies. NAN is just one group that we work with. There's many other agencies and governments here that we are working with, and that we continue to spread the message and really seek their advice and guidance as to where we're going. And that was one of the reasons we created the Indigenous Advisory Committee for the organization and the board, because we really, really value that input and, again, some of the education that we need from the community.
And how important is it to have Indigenous representation in the police service itself?
Well, I think it goes a lot, you know, across the board in this country, is that we have very diverse communities, and in Thunder Bay we have a fairly large Indigenous population. So I think it's important that we represent within the service the numbers that are equal to the populations that we serve. So we are, you know, looking at strategies to do recruitment. We have worked with conversations with some of our community agencies as far as maybe getting into the communities and doing some recruitment and the college, and really just working hard to identify to young people the importance of having a police department and working together with the communities to really make a strong partnership going forward.
What is your first step now from here on in? You say there isn't this widespread problem across the service, but do you look to see if there are other problems, or have you identified other things that you know need changing now?
I'm constantly doing that, very vigilant and working very well with the organization. Within the organization, we have regular meetings with our senior staff, our senior NCOs and staff sergeants and sergeants, just to make sure that people understand the structure that we're trying to create, the programs that we want to continue to develop, and provide them that autonomy to basically become better managers, better leaders, and understand their roles, so that when these difficult situations come up, because sometimes we see them from the ground up, that they have the ability to manage them and communicate, not to be afraid to ask for advice, and really create that culture of trust within the organization, so that they understand that they're valued and that they have some input that's really important to how we progress as an agency.
You know, on the flip side, there has been calls to disband the Thunder Bay Police Force altogether from the First Nation. How do you convince them that the work you're setting out to do will be the change they need to see?
Well, that call for disbandment, that came, of course, through some time ago, through some emotions that we're going through, and I can't really speak for them. They still have their feelings, but I can just, again, reassure them that the message was heard. It wasn't just heard from the service. It was, you know, when I applied for this position, I was aware of those calls being made, but it's also been heard by the previous administrator, the board, the new board. We're all fresh. We all are taking this on from the beginning. So it is a new beginning, and I think just constantly putting that message out there until we can continue to work together and until we can show them clearly that, yes, we are on the right path and that we are committed to those partnerships, I think that's going to take that time that we need.
And does it matter, do you think, that you are the first person, I understand, the first chief in almost 30 years that comes from outside of the Thunder Bay police community? Is that going to be part of the change, do you think?
I think it was something that people were looking for to see if just I think with the nature of the concerns that people had in the community, that I think that was some of the thoughts that it might be a good idea to bring somebody in from the outside, have another set of eyes onto where the situation is internally, and maybe some of the history of working with communities and just seeing how those partnerships were thriving and bringing that to this community. I think that was a good idea.
Okay. Darcy Fleury, thank you for making time for us this morning.
You're welcome.
Darcy Fleury is the chief of the Thunder Bay Police Force.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.